feel like what God's put on my heart has already been shared in a number of ways today, but if you'll indulge me, I've got a couple thoughts for you, and then we're actually going to do an activity together. How many of you like group projects? Right? We're going to pray first. I got to tell you, God put something on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and it has so been stirring, and I found out on Monday that Pastor Barry had asked me to release it, and this has been an absolute crazy, I think I told Candy, it's just been a stupid week, to be honest with you. And I have felt like I have contended and fought. I got super sick. As of yesterday, I wasn't sure if I was going to have a voice at all. There were things that I needed for part of what we're going to do today that I had ordered, and they got stolen off my front porch. We've never had anything stolen off of our front porch before, so it's just kind of been one of those weeks. So can we just pray? Because, Father, I just believe that there is something so on your heart this morning, God, and as we begin to release this word, Lord, I just know that I can see the threads throughout everything that has happened already in our service. God, that you're speaking. So, Father, I just pray that all of the week and even the preparation, everything will just be put aside and we'll just hear from you. God, that you'll have your way, and that you'll knit our hearts to each other and to you this morning, God. We just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, I was here at noontime prayer that they're doing for 40 Days of Hope. And I was just really asking the Lord why we hadn't seen transformation. I'd prayed and prayed and prayed for God to release things. And I believe that he had. And yet I looked around and honestly, I wasn't even sure in the ways that I wanted to see transformation in my own life that I had seen it, much less in my community, my family. So God began to show me that he was stirring up a motivation for things, kingdom things. But the transformation on this level didn't happen until we took what he was releasing and we did war with it against our mindsets. And we decided that we were going to change our mindsets and that we were going to just flat defeat mindsets. That's when transformation comes. Do you see that it's not just God giving a revelation? That we have to do something with it. We have to do war with what he gives us to change our mindsets. He showed me three things that he was stirring a motivation for, and three corresponding mindsets that we had to challenge. And we're only going to go into one of them today because I feel like I've only scratched the surface of what the first one is. God is stirring a mindset for covenant. He is stirring a motivation and a desire for covenant. We have declared and we have preached about restoration and families coming back together. You don't get that without covenant. It is his heart for us to understand what covenant is all about. In the Bible, when it refers to covenant, usually it's actually cutting a covenant. There's stories where animals were cut and the pieces were laid and people and things would pass before it to mean a covenant. The covenant of circumcision, there was the cutting of the covenant. Our ultimate covenant with Jesus, we don't get there without the sacrifice and what happened on the cross, right? So can we understand that to get to covenant, it always involves a sacrifice. It always involves a sacrifice. So if I tell somebody that I'm walking in covenant with them and I'm not willing to sacrifice for them, I'm lying. We have to be willing to sacrifice to get to covenant. And if we don't, we don't have it. I have heard so much, and don't take this out of context, but I have heard so much about unity. And I love the idea of unity. But God began to show me that if it's unity for unity's sake, it may very well be fear-based. It may very well be control-based. If it's unity that's coming as a fruit of covenant, we're golden. But if it's not coming as a fruit of covenant, you have to look at it. If I'm trying to get along with you and keep peace, just because I want to keep peace, and just because it's Christian to keep peace, that might not be covenant. And let me tell you, that can be thrown away awfully quick. But if I'm walking in unity as a fruit of covenant, then you know what? As you walk your way, you take part of me with you, which means I can't get away from you. I met my husband when I was 16 years old. We got married when I was 21. I have spent, this summer it'll be 20 years building a life. My life is so interwound in the life of my husband that you can't take him without taking part of me. That's covenant. My girls, we see things, we make jokes all the time. You cannot deny that Kenzie Womack is Kurt Womack's daughter. That's covenant. Where she goes, she takes part of him. We've got this little boy that we didn't make, but we made a covenant with him that we would love him, that he was a co-heir with our daughters, that we would be family together. And you see his personality and you see things that he does. He's ours. We have so affected that kid, positive or negative, however you see it. He is a Womack for sure. That's covenant. You can't take the one without getting the other. You can't destroy it. When you make a contract with somebody and you sign it, there's kind of this if-then. If you do this, then this is what's going to happen. And there's paragraphs upon paragraph, if you ever read the fine print, what happens if you breach a contract. Right? There's an escape clause. You do a mortgage. You contract to pay your mortgage. If you don't pay your mortgage, what they get to do, they get to come take your house. They get to foreclose. In a covenant, there is no escape clause. There is no, if you breach, this is what happens. Because in covenant, there's not supposed to be that breach. Because I injure myself if I break covenant with you. I injure myself. I am no longer the same. Something has happened because as you go, if we're in covenant, you still take part of me with you. I can't be whole again if we break covenant until God comes and does something, right? We're not designed to break covenant. Okay. So you know what we have to do to get there, right? Because remember what the Lord told me is that he said that he was stirring up and he was releasing covenant, which means that we have to take that and we have to destroy some mindset that we all carry in order to be able to get that covenant. Do you want to know what the mindset is? Okay, everybody grab your seats for a second. Because if we get this, this will change just about everything about our lives. If we want covenant, we have to break a mindset of personal satisfaction. It can no longer be about me. It can no longer be about me getting what I think I'm due. It can no longer be about me getting fairness and what is fair. It can no longer be about me making sure that I'm the benefit of justice and not the victim of injustice. It can no longer be about me. I have to break a mindset of personal satisfaction if I'm ever going to walk in covenant. And I got to tell you, I think that goes if I'm truly going to understand my covenant with Jesus. I got to break this mindset of personal satisfaction. Every thought that smells of pride or greed or want or lust or insecurity, or control, or selfishness. I have to bring every thought that smells, that has the slightest bit of odor of those things, under captivity. And I have to then expose it to the truth of a gospel that's all about covenant and decide that those thoughts I'm going to cast aside, and I'm not going to take action on those thoughts. I'm not even going to allow those thoughts to continue to roam in my head. That is not easy, because most of our thoughts have some remnant. If not, they're just full-blown from those parts. We have to decide we ain't going to entertain that anymore. We ain't going to play with it anymore. We're going to starve it. Why? For the sake of covenant. What we're getting compared to what we're giving up is so much. Let me tell you how this plays out. So I'm trying to walk in unity with someone, and they have just done something that is totally an act of injustice against me. Let's say it could be anything from they took credit for something that I did, or they completely disrespected me, or they flat told lies about me to someone. There's a complete injustice that has happened. Can we see that regardless of my emotional response, sometimes we're just victimized by injustice, right? But then what happens is we get this sense of that was not just. And it gets all mixed up with our control, and it gets all mixed up with our insecurity, and it gets all mixed up with our selfishness and our lack and all of these things in our heart. And we do one of two things. We either get mad, and we unleash on that person and destroy relationship. Or maybe for the sake of unity, for unity's sake, we don't say anything. And it just festers because there is this hint of it, of the injustice. And some of us have such a mantle of justice that we can't handle the injustice. And when it happens to us, it gets all mixed up with an emotional response. If we're walking in unity, we either go off sometimes, or we don't say anything at all. We don't speak to the injustice. Do you know covenant lets us speak to that? Covenant will say, you know what? I'm okay being the victim of your injustice. Let that sink in for a second. I'm okay. It doesn't change who I am or who I know I am in the kingdom if you treat me bad. I can be secure enough and not after my own selfish motivation enough that I'm okay even if you treat me bad. So I can not let it hit that emotional place. If I'm walking in covenant, I can be like, you know what? That person's going through something. There's something going on. Obviously, there's something going on in that person's heart. That person needs healing, and they victimized me because of it. If it ain't all about me, I can go after how that person has been dealing with a wound. And I don't have to have an emotional response. But in covenant, I can still speak to the injustice. I can still say, you know what? I'm really okay with you that you did this to me. I'm okay. But you need to know that that's not okay. That's an injustice. And you can't be doing that to other people. I can still speak to it. Covenant empowers you to speak to it in a way that's appropriate, in a way that preserves relationship, in a way that continues covenant. Covenant speaks to injustice at a kingdom level, not a fleshly level. If you're speaking to injustice at a fleshly level, you ain't walking in covenant. So don't tell me you're telling them the truth in love and all of this other stuff. If it is a fleshly level, you ain't speaking the truth in love. You're speaking the truth out of the flesh, probably out of an emotional response, because your rights were trampled on because you didn't get treated the way you thought you should have gotten treated. Listen, I understand the heartbreak of that, and I'm not minimizing what that feels like to go through it. I'm telling you what our response needs to be. response needs to be a kingdom response that says, well, come here, let's talk about what happened. Despite how that hurt, I love you enough to want to know why you did that and how we bring transformation to your life. Doesn't always have to be about me and my hurt, does it? Not in covenant. Okay. Ever feel like you've over-prepared for something? Here's what I'm going to tell you. For the sake of time and what we're going to do, and because I feel like right now I'd just rather share my heart, I got scripture. I can print it out. I can give it to you. I'm going to refer to it. But let's just talk about this, okay? So in the Bible, you know how we talked about that there's always sacrifice for covenant, right? In the Bible, there's this thing called the covenant of salt. How many of you have ever heard of the covenant of salt? I got a little intimidated when I walked in today, and I was feeling kind of, you know, a little cocky because I talked to some people, and they'd never heard about the covenant of salt, and I talked to Craig. And of course, Craig's heard about the covenant of salt, has a four-part sermon, all about the covenants. Leviticus chapter 2. This is when God is going through and talking about the offering. In the Old Testament, those sacrifices were huge. That's how you obeyed, is you came and you sacrificed. And in that description, it says, as an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to the Lord, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing aroma. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offerings. With all your offerings, you offer salt. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, it's talking about the priestly duties, and it's setting up what the priests are supposed to do and how the priests are going to be taken care of. All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to the Lord I give to you, and to your sons and daughters with you, as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt before the Lord for you and for your offspring with you. Second Chronicles chapter 13. It talks about a war going on where there was a battle. And there was the good guys that had a certain number of army and the bad guys. And the bad guys had twice as many people as the good guys did. And they were getting ready to go, and there was just some discouragement. They specifically said, ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingship over Israel forever to David by his sons and his sons by a covenant of salt? There is something so significant about this idea of a salt covenant. There is something so significant. I'm convinced that you almost can't even read the Bible and really get it without understanding what God's trying to say as he's talking about a covenant of salt. It speaks to sacrifice. Every offering had to be seasoned with salt. And in the day, salt was so valuable. They didn't have refrigerations. They didn't have your refrigerator and your freezer. What preserved the meat was salt. It was a preserving agent. It was valuable. It was currency. And it had to be sprinkled on all the offerings. And God said that there's something covenantal in that. The idea that we come to a covenant with the idea that we're going to preserve one another. I ain't going to tear you down, because if I tear you down, I'm tearing myself down. I'm going to treat you and build you up because that builds us all up. We're in covenant together. I don't succeed without you. When the people went to war and they got strengthened and knew that it was going to be okay because there was a salt covenant that had been made. It speaks to sacrifice. It speaks to the power of what us walking in covenant can really do. They won. They won. They overtake. Not only did they overtake and win, but they decimated their enemy. More than half the army of the enemy lie dead in ruins. I want to see people that I'm walking in covenant with, I want to see their enemies just lying in ruins. I want to see everything that's risen up against them, that every attack that the evil one has tried to lay against them, I want to see it lying in ruins. But I won't get that opportunity. I won't get there. I won't get to see those schemes of the evil one defeated if I'm not willing to sacrifice for it, if I'm not willing to walk in covenant, if your battle isn't every bit as important to me as my battle. We miss it because we've got blinders on just looking at ourselves and what we want. And what makes our life better, and what we deserve, and what our rights are. And Jesus says, I get it, but I surrendered all of that. And you're supposed to follow my example. And because he surrendered all of it, he can give it all back to us. But we miss it. We don't even see it because of where our eyes are focused just on us. If you look at the example in Scripture of David and Jonathan, in 1 Samuel chapter 18. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him like his own soul. Who do you love like your own soul? These weren't biological brothers. Who do you love like your own soul? Be honest. When I was such a silly example. When I was a little girl in youth group, I was out to Mexican food with my youth pastor and his son. And we had gotten one of those big things of carne asada nachos, right? You can tell who you're willing to walk in covenant with by sharing carne asada nachos. Okay? So now listen. Listen, because this is deep. It is not just who you will let put their hands in the same styrofoam thing of carne asada nachos as you. That's unity, people. That ain't covenant. Here's covenant. Covenant is that prized chip. That prized chip that has that piece of meat on it, the carne asada. And then it's got just enough of the cheese and just enough. It is the one. You know you look for it when you open up the lid. You look for that chip. When you eye that chip and when you get that chip, do you eat it? Or do you give it? We're being real here today, folks. Or are you willing to let somebody else have that chip? My youth pastor, when I was growing up, he took this great chip and he got little tears in his eyes. And he gave it to his son. And he told his son, here, look at this chip. It's got everything on it. Here you go. That's covenant. That prized chip. Y'all are going to be so judgmental sharing nachos from now on. Are you willing to sacrifice somebody's happiness more important than your own? Do you trust God enough to provide for you if you look out for somebody else? In my marriage, I don't have to look out for myself. I know my husband is looking out for the best interests of the family and for me. And so I don't have to worry about grabbing the best of everything and doing that, because I know he's already looking out for me. So guess what that does? That frees me up to make sure I'm looking out for him. You have board members at this church and pastors at this church that are spending their time looking out for you. They're making personal sacrifices to make sure that things go the way that they should go, so you don't have to. Isn't that amazing? Think about the fact that people are sacrificing for you. There is something so amazing in knowing that you've sacrificed something for somebody else and for the kingdom. That's covenant. Are we willing to lay down what we have for somebody else? David and Jonathan, their hearts were knit together. Listen to this. When Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David. Do you know Jonathan was the son of the king? Who's the next one to be king? The son of the king, right? And he had a robe that showed his position and that showed his authority and that showed what he was entitled to. And he laid it down and said, here you go, David, because my soul is knitted to you. And if you take my position of power, if you take my position of authority, I'm really good with it because, you know, we're one and my soul is knitted to you. I've never been asked to surrender a kingdom that I was going to be able to rule and reign. But Jonathan did. There was no jealousy. Could Jonathan have done that if he was walking in insecurity to David? No. They were one. Here you go. It's not mine to have. It's yours. Jonathan gave him his armor. He gave him his sword and his bow and his belt. Everything that was used for war. He said, here you go. That left Jonathan without any weapons of war. What are our weapons of war sometimes? Our mouth, we get offended, all of these things, right? And Jonathan said, here, David, I have nothing to defend myself. I don't have anything offensive or defensive. I'm just going to walk in relationship with you. What if we went to conversations, even difficult conversations, where we had to speak correction from a place of covenant? And if somebody was coming to us that way, what if we entered that exchange without any offensive or defensive weapons? I wasn't going to yell at you. I wasn't going to bring up your past. I wasn't going to kitchen sink our argument and throw everything else. Yeah, but you do this. What if it was just like, hey, let's make this work. Here's an issue. How do we deal? I don't need to tear you down. You don't need to tear me down. You don't have to come and be all offensive. We can just talk because we have the same goal, because we're walking in covenant. We're supposed to show God's love to this world, right? God's love is not a contractual love. It's not a personal satisfaction love. It's a covenantal love. The Bible says that they'll know we're Christians by our love for one another. I'm telling you, there's things that we want to defeat that are happening in our community that we never will if we don't walk in covenant. We've got people in this church walking through heavy, heavy things. And we'll never come alongside them and help them defeat those things without covenant. And whether it's something that has happened of their own making because of their own poor choices, or whether it's something where they're just flat under attack of the evil one, we will never help either way them get wholeness and get victory if we don't walk in covenant with them. If we're not willing to take some of that on. Bible says we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. It's reasonable. It's not extraordinary. It's our reasonable act of worship to present our bodies to God. Our bodies, even our bodies are made up of salt, right? Even that offering has salt. My question to you is if we're really ready to follow the example of Christ. When Christ made a covenant with us, he said, my very blood I'll pour out for you. My body can be broken and beaten for you. I will sacrifice everything. He didn't have a home to go put his head on. He didn't have something to make sure that everything in his life was just peachy keen and looked good for Facebook posts. And whatever was left, he was going to walk with people. He gave it all to walk in covenant. If we will walk in covenant with each other, we'll see the things that are plaguing our city destroyed. We'll see the things that are affecting each one here destroyed. We will absolutely defeat it. Because that's how God moves. God moves in covenants. So my question is, if we're willing to do that today, those salt covenants are huge. They covered every offering. You know, in the temple when they would burn incense, I knew I was going to say that word wrong. Darn it. Do you know that those, I did tell you I was medicated, right? I'm super sick and highly medicated, so I get a pass on that one. Those were made with salt. Their act of worship had salt in it. Their act of sacrifice had salt in it. What are we called to be? Salt and light. We're called to be that salt. The salt that preserves. The salt that seasons. The salt that causes others to be thirsty. The salt that shows where the wounds are. Think about that. If you've ever had a paper cut that you didn't know about, stick your hand in a bag of salty chips or fries. You know where that paper cut is? You know where that is? It highlights where the wounds are. Why? So God can bring healing. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be that salt that is over every offering that shows that this covenant you can count on. This covenant you can stand on. This covenant you can win battles with. This covenant will help provide. This covenant will not be so looking out to my own best interest that I forsake relationship just because I get a little offended or a little hurt. I want you to think for a moment what your family life would be like if you really walked in covenant. I've got some family members. Praise God, not the ones that live under my roof, but some of those other family members. They've hurt me pretty bad. And I've done a pretty bad job of walking in covenant with them. Just to be honest. I wonder what my family would look like if I was determined that my rights and my feelings weren't nearly as important as following God's example of walking covenant. I wonder how many wounds in the lives of the people who have hurt me the most I would be able to help bring healing to if I walked in covenant. The areas where I see the evil one just beating up my family that then in turn hurts me. If I walked in covenant, how many of those wounds could I be part of the healing versus part of the hurting? What would this family look like? What would Cross Point look like if we walked in covenant? If your problem was as big as my problem in my life, that I would struggle. How many of you have felt that for someone? Most of us at some point has felt something for someone so strong that it was as much their battle as it was yours. That's not supposed to be the exception to the rule. That's supposed to be the rule. That's covenant. Are you guys ready to tear down every thought process that leads to personal satisfaction and decide that you're going to walk in covenant? Father, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your example, and I thank you that you have loved us with a covenantal love, God, that I don't even understand most of the time. God, and right now, I just repent for the times that I have put my own feelings ahead of what covenant looks like and ahead of recognizing somebody else's hurt and pain, God. God, the times where I've made things about me that just didn't need to be. God, I ask that you would help me to take what you're stirring in my hearts about relationship and about covenant and about seeing the gold in other people and helping them get there and warring with other people, God. God, I pray that that becomes our priority. God, and I pray that you would help this church walk in such covenant that it'll rock our city for Jesus. That that'll be something that speaks louder than anything else we could ever say or do. God, knit our hearts together. God, may it look like New Testament, where they went from house to house and they shared and they had all things common and everybody's needs were met. Love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.